Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, 49ers fans? It's absolutely incredible to be with you guys, the faithful. It's weird time right now because we're sitting here right before the schedule comes out, which is about a week out, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm sure they're going to leak a lot of this stuff, which is always fun. We're working behind the scenes trying to get all these cities set up. You know, are they doing a London trip or are they not? Is that a Minnesota trip or is it London? What that's going to look like? Are Miami and Tampa going to be back to back and all that fun stuff? And so it's kind of a weird time because we know who we're playing, but you don't know when you're playing, which matters a lot. You look back at that schedule last year and you had that 3-game slide, right? I mean, the order of games is gigantic. And so we're excited to see that. But the 49ers announced their last roster cut. And it was Spencer Wagey, a defensive lineman. He was an undrafted free agent out of North Dakota State last year. He's been released a few times. I think this is his third or fourth time to be released from us, which was rough. I mean, the NFL, a cold-blooded league, man. You go from 2 days ago, the 49ers are wishing him a happy birthday on all their social media accounts, and then 2 days later, they're releasing him using the same picture. Which was rough, but that's kind of the way the NFL goes. At least they didn't release him on his birthday, I guess. That's a good deal. But, you know, Spencer Wagey's gone. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if he comes back. He's a pass-rushing defensive tackle, kind of only hybrid DTD end guy, a huge project player, but just can't play the run. That's his issue. But the pass-rushing athleticism, all that stuff's there. So we'll kind of see how that goes. But the important thing about all this is, the 49ers 90-man roster is set. It's going to change. They're going to continue to sign and release players. But for the first time, the Niners are full. Now, it's not a true 90-man. And what I mean by that is they have 91. Why? The 49ers participate in the International Player Pathway Program. So they actually have 91. They get to keep one extra. And it's an offensive lineman, offensive tackle, another huge dude, Isaac Alacorn. Alarcon. There we go. I think we're doing it right. So we're at 91. So what I wanted to do this episode is focus on the numbers, not so much the players. How many of each roster do the 49ers have? How many quarterbacks, tight ends, defensive ends, all that stuff. And then where did they cut down to in their initial 53-man last year? At each of those numbers. And that's going to tell us where the competition is going to be most heavy throughout training camp in the preseason. You just look at the numbers. You don't have to look at the names. You look at the numbers, you're like, ooh, this spot, this spot, this spot. And so before we walk away today, we're going to know what positions are going to be the most cutthroat out there for the 49ers. We're going to talk a little special teams talk. And then we're picking up our series, which we did last offseason, which I loved. Got to get the nostalgia in there. And what better time is that than the offseason? Our best of series, where we went through numbers 1 through 30 last year. And who is the best player to ever wear this jersey number? And so we're going to pick up right where we left off. We did 1 through 30 last year. We're picking up at 31 this year. And so today's episode, that's what I kind of want to end it with. We'll see how it goes. But I've been doing research all morning. I get so happy. Like, what I told my wife earlier, I was like, man, I'm cranky. I'm mad. There's no reason to be cranky or mad. I don't know. It's just one of those times. And I was like, dude, I just don't want to do anything. But then you start diving into the history and getting into the Wikipedia pages of these players and where they played high school ball. And I'm just like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. And then it's just like, I don't know, during some point of that process, I'm smiling, I'm drinking my coffee, probably some of it has to do with coffee, but now I'm excited. And so hopefully I can pass some of that on to you guys. Maybe you're going through a rough day, and if you are, I apologize, but hopefully it gets better. And my day always gets better whenever I see you guys in the chat. What's up, Invader Niner? Showed up first, hashtag CC. What's up, Kevin? We got a lot of people showing up. What's up, man? JP, the man. Darren, Colin. Nick, you guys are the best. Really appreciate you guys. Hey, Dave. We got Brian Powell in the house. Look at this. Oh, you know, JP, I love these updates. He was coaching football. Now he's coaching baseball. He got his roster today for his first practice in baseball. Love to see that, man. Really appreciate you sharing your journey with us. Make an impact in the community. Nothing more 49ers rush than that right there, man. Really appreciate you. Celestial, Mike, my man. Appreciate you guys. Sean, dang, this is fun. Right here. Sean says, finally, John has returned for a live show. That's all right. I got the Rock impression. It came across. Yeah, my cousin who, you know, flies for the military, he was in town a few days. And so I just went and spent time with him, which was awesome. So, yeah, I took a little bit of break. I could do that. I can afford to do that nowadays in the off season. During the season, I don't do that too often. But in the off season, sometimes I'll take a day off. What's up, Danson? Hey, Mikey and Kim. What's up, guys? Love it. Love it. Dave says, did the new player that you just spoke of, Alarcon, gosh, it's so bad. Did he replace Alfredo Gutierrez? Yes, he did. Brock's fewer past roommate. That is correct. Yeah, Brock's roommate was Nick Zekiel. Then when they released him, then it was Alfredo. Then it was back to Zekiel. So, yeah, I think Brock's finally to the stage where he's not going to get a roommate. Maybe he still will. You know, that Toyota thing, hopefully he can afford his own spot. He's a married man now. So, but yeah, Alfredo, I don't know what's next for Alfredo, but I can tell you this, if he wants to get into coaching or front office or scouting, I think he's got a place because he left such a positive impression in 3 years with the Niners. Incredible. You know, we do that 90-man roster series every year. I think we're going to do it again. It's so much work. It is so much work. But I enjoy it big time, big time. So, you know, you get to know these players. And so maybe we'll start that up. And if we are, I got to get started because 90 episodes is a lot of episodes. Speaking of a lot of episodes, today's episode, 1,118 of the 49ers Rush podcast. 1,118. We just keep racking them up, man. What's up, Nick? We got Leon Sandcastle. Appreciate you, man. Swaggy J. Appreciate you guys. So glad y'all are here. So the 49ers are now down to 91. And so let's break them down position-wise. And so I'm going to give you two numbers for every single position group. One is how many they currently have. And the second number is what they cut down to on last year's 53-man. Okay? Doesn't mean that's the number they're cut down to. Again, could change, and I think some of these positions do change. But whenever a position changes from, let's say, they keep 5 wide receivers to 6 to 7, it's 1 or 2 spots. So you expect a little bit of tweaking, perhaps, but so quarterback. There's 4 quarterbacks on this roster. You know, you got the undrafted free agent, Mordecai. Last year, they kept 3 quarterbacks. After the 2022 NFC Championship game against the Eagles, I think Kyle Shanahan is forever linked to three quarterbacks. Literally got the rules changed. So we kind of know who's going to, maybe Mordecai could do what Brock did and overtake Brandon Allen, but probably not. We kind of know what we got there. Now, the running back fullback room, that room's pretty tight. There's seven. You got to include Kyle Juszczyk there for sure. There's seven, and, you know, probably maybe not even just mine, everybody's favorite undrafted free agent. One, it should be Evan Anderson, the defensive tackle out of FAU. You follow the money and how much money they paid him, guaranteed. Evan Anderson's going to be part of the 49ers moving forward. Worst case practice squad, but I think there's a good chance he beats out somebody like Kalia Davis. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But Evan Anderson should be everybody's number one favorite undrafted free agent. Number two is probably Cody Schrader out of Missouri. The running back, he was fun. Yeah, he was part of my 205 players. Yeah, I had a late round grade on him, super late round, but quality player. So you've got seven running backs and fullbacks on this roster currently. Last year, they kept five. And so if you're doing that and you're looking at those numbers, you know, you brought in Patrick Taylor late, Jordan Mason, Isaac Guerrero, he's making this damn roster. You traded two fists for him. He sure as hell better. But, like, if you're cutting guys, you know, Patrick Taylor and Cody Schrader are probably the most likely. But, man, this is not an easy – like, J.P. Mason, not a lock. Maybe you trade in Elijah Mitchell if Isaac Guerrero shows up, if that's even possible. Maybe you get a seventh-round, sixth-round pick back for him. But, like, whew, like, that one's going to be cooking. And the running back position with Kyle Shanahan, it's always, you know, what's going on today? And yeah, right here, I'm not against this either, Invader. Showcase Mason in the preseason, see if you get a sixth round. I am the biggest J.P. Mason fan that has ever existed. I called him making the roster last year as an undrafted free, or sorry, I guess 2 years ago now. And I got that one correct. Don't get a lot correct, but I got that one correct. Who knows? Maybe you could get something for him. Get one of those fifths or sixths or whatever, because he's a beast, man. He is awesome. So now let's get to the wide receiver position. There are 11, it goes to 11, 11 wide receivers currently on this roster. That's unreal. You know, you sign Tariq Owens, you know, Terrell Owens' son, but there's so many guys. And here's the issue. The back end of the roster, there's some quality guys there. Chris Conley was getting snaps in the Super Bowl. Now he's competing for a roster spot. That's a good thing. I like Chris Conley personally, but you know, you got 11 wide receivers. Last year, you kept six. That means dudes are getting cut. You know, Trent Taylor, Tay Martin, Chris Conley. All right, that's three. Now, Ronnie Bell, Danny Gray. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're getting into some of these names where it's like, whew, you cut some dudes. Personally, right now, those names I mentioned, if we're keeping six, bye-bye. I'm not keeping Ronnie Bell or Danny Gray currently with the roster we got, because you kept all your wide receivers, and everybody's like, 49ers are traded. They're trading Ayuk again, and again today they're trading them, and again they're trading them again, and we're going to trade Ayuk again, and we're going to trade Ayuk again. You kept them, and so then they had to divert, like, oh, it's about Debo. Well, we kept him too, and then you added two. Man, it's going to be fun. But that wide receiver position, you got 11. Last year, they kept six. That is half the room's getting cut. Half. That's crazy, man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Danson says, excited to see the competition between running backs, wide receivers, and defensive backs. Yes, it's heavy. It is heavy at those spots. Floyd. He says, do you expect a Mitchell, Elijah Mitchell, or J.P. Mason trade if a rookie emerges? I don't think Elijah Mitchell has any of that value for a trade. The injury history, this is the last year of his rookie deal, so you're only getting a one-year rental. So you're not like the thing that made Elijah Mitchell so indispensable was his contract. He didn't even count against the initial 53-man like salary cap because he was so cheap. JP Mason's the same thing. So Mitchell now, you got 1 year. Obviously, the injuries have been paramount of his career, but he's been cheap. Well, guess what? Not going to be cheap anymore after this year. This is it. So the cap, whatever trade value he quote unquote had, that's gone. You got a 1 year rental. You know, if a team like you see teams out there like the Cowboys with no running backs, like there's teams out there with really bad running back rooms. If an injury happens, yes. And maybe you could hold somebody hostage like you did Miami Dolphins with Jeff Wilson. You got a fifth for him. That's by far one of the best trades in the history of the Shanahan organization. And there have been great ones. The Lakin trade. You got the trade for Chase Young. That was a really good trade. You got the Trent Williams trade. Like, there's been some great trades. That one I thought was, fifth round for Jeff Wilson. He's like their fifth running back now. Mason will have more trade value for sure. But he's so cheap, and you got him for so many more years, and he's great on special teams. Does Shanahan trust him? Doesn't seem like it. So, you know, is that worth getting a six-round pick back? Maybe. I'm cool with that. If you trade Mason, but that lets you keep, you know, I don't know, Cody Schrader, who has a great camp, that's cool. You're just extending it forward. That would bother me. I don't want to trade Mason. He's one of my favorites. But, you know, Sean says, yeah, Mason needs to be turned loose, and it's going to happen. Yeah, it's possible. Man, that would bother me. That would so bother me. Brian Powell, appreciate you, man. He says, saw an interesting idea of Garanto transitioning to the juice role. Man, he is not shifty. So that would be hard. He's great in pass pro, great receiving. Wouldn't mind that. The athleticism's there. The three cone says he can. The tape, that's a transition. Personally, I'm really big on Braden Willis playing the Kyle Juszczyk role. He already did in college, but I would be against it. Wouldn't be against it. But the fact that, here's my issue is, you know, you went to Armstead, asked for a cut. He said no, went and got paid. You went to Juice and asked for a cut. He says, cool, I'll take it. And it's a two-year cut. So, like, you got Kyle Juszczyk for 2 years on the cheap. He's cheap, cheap, cheap. So, I'm not so sure, like, you're making plans to move off of him. Yeah, I don't know. Floyd, trade Roddy Bell to Harbaugh in San Diego. I don't know what part is best of this, Floyd the Barber. I think the San Diego reference is my favorite. They're not there anymore, but I felt it. I felt it, and I think you felt it. We felt it together. But I would love that. Shoot, give me a seventh for Ronnie Bell. I'm done. Done. I have no problem with that. Yeah, Vader right here. He says, you know, Braden Willis might be that understudy. I like that. But you're not trading two fifths. You're not trading two fifth routers for a fullback. Maybe Kyle would. I don't know. But you got Kyle for two more years. So you're going to sit this dude that you trade up for 2 years? Well, that's what we did to all the other third-round running backs. Not that he's a third-round running back. I got it. What's up, Salty? How you doing, brother? All right, so let's get back to these numbers. Tight ends. Tight ends are problematic for the 49ers. You've got six. Last year, they kept four. And it's bad. It is George Kittle and AYOs. The coaches, we had a term, right? So during like indie specs or whatever, or idiot like specialized time period where you needed like a whole bunch of the guys, you had the AYOs. All you others. We didn't call the kids that. But in coaches' meeting, we're like, okay, who's got AYOs today? And everybody like, nobody would make eye contact, right? It's like, all right, fine, we'll just rotate it. You got AYOs today. And it was always just like a pain in the butt because it's just a bunch of dudes, whatever. That's the tight end position. You got George Kittle. And I'll put Braden Willis. I mean, he got snaps in the Super Bowl. Like, I think he's making this roster no matter what. But is it as tight end three or four? I'm not sure he's tight end two. For us, he might be. But you've got six. Last year, you kept four. And Mason Plein, the undrafted free agent, I think has a shot out of Furman. because it's bad group. It's a bad group. It's a bad group. Now, Eric Saubert, I think he's making this roster because of special teams alone. Yeah, I'm peeking ahead just a little bit. Eric Saubert has 1,451 career special team snaps. That's bananas. It's the most of anybody on this team, including George Odom. Actually, I don't know if that's more than George Odom. But anyway, I don't want to look that up. That roster spot, I'm pretty sure Eric Saubert's going to be able to get the tight end 3 or 4 there. I think Braden Willis gets the tight end 3 or 4 there. And maybe you keep somebody that shines in camp, whether it's Cameron Latu, Mason Plyne, Cameron Latu. Somebody got to show up because you need them for the goal line sets. You got to have at least 3. Maybe you just keep 3 and you bring back Ross Dwelly because nobody's going to want Dwelly. That's possible as well. But we'll see. The tight end position is bad. Invader Niner says, unpopular belief, but I think Latu is much improved this year. I think his issues were all mental in last year's camp. Well, the problem is, like, if you're a receiving tight end and you can't catch, that's a red flag. Not a good blocker. Blocked very poorly in camp as well. That's what he has to... The hands thing, you can forgive the poor blocking and missed assignments that I would see all the time in team and coaches yelling at him. That was a problem. He was by far the worst player in the 90-man camp last year. Not even close. It was very consistently bad. I mean, you know, you're there on the sidelines watching all these practices. I watched every damn one of them. And you can see the coaches yelling at him. And not for the drop passes. They'd turn and, like, you'd see the body language of the coaches and him. It was bad. Yeah, he had that one great catch in the preseason game. But we'll see. Hopefully something comes. It can't get worse. Can't get worse. Can't be the worst of 90-man roster 2 years in a row. I hope he steps up because he's got that playmaking ability, and we have this huge void at the position that we need him to play. Huge void. I would love nothing other than them to get up there. Chris says they need Cameron Law to accept he is useless. No, I think you let him play it out. You let him play it out. And if it happens again, then yeah, you do what you do. Maybe you trade them, pick swap, whatever. See if another team wants it. Because another team was probably high on them, not near as high as the Niners, I'm sure. But I think another team might have had like a 5th-round grade on them. So maybe you say, like, look, this kid needs a change of scenery. We'll send you Cameron Latu and a 7th for a 6th, like something like that. That'd be awesome. Right here, Salty says, you know, Latu is so disappointing because he's a great athlete. Yeah, look at his brother who just went in the 1st round. $1 million body with the 10-cent head. Yeah, we always would say, look like Tarzan, play like Jane, which I think probably not appropriate today's, but that was the coaching term that was always thrown around. Just like, probably shouldn't say that. I'll take that one out of the repertoire. But it's whatever it is you want to say there. Like, you got to figure it out. He hasn't done it. Now, offensive line, it's really hard to group the 49ers offensive line because all of our guys are guards, tackles, centers. Everybody plays every damn position. So you can't go through and say, like, oh, these are our centers. These are our guards. You can't do that with the Niners. So they have 17 offensive linemen total. 17. Last year they kept 9. You're cutting 8 if you're keeping that same number. 9's on the heavy end because you only take 8 usually into a game and sometimes only 7. So the 49ers were on the big end last year of offensive linemen. And here's the crazy thing, okay? Now, the good news is you get to keep Isaac Alarcon, who I've said his name 15 times, and I really do apologize. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just from Texas. But here's the problem. The back end of the roster, there's not a lot of guys. Like, okay, you're going to cut 8 of these guys. Okay, I can give you some names that you're going to cut. Okay, maybe Corey Luciano, Sebastian Gutierrez. He's uphill battle. Nick Zakil, Ben Bartsch, maybe. Brandon Parker, that's 5. That's 5. We got to cut 4 more of the following names. Listen to these names that are going to get cut. Spencer Burford, Jared Kingston, Jalen Moore. Like, That's three. We got to get one more. And it's just like, you're looking at these names and it's like, good Lord. Like, are you cutting? Who are you cutting here? Jake Brendle? John Feliciano? Colton McKivitz? Trent Williams? Those are your starters. Dominique Puny? Like, I don't know, man. This is going to be weird. And it makes sense whenever you look at this and you're like, yeah, they didn't add that many linemen, because it's like the back end of the roster is pretty solid. The starter level quality at the offensive line, probably not so much. Probably not so much. And I think that's kind of a problem that with what we have here. There's a lot. But man, what do you do with these names? Like cutting Spencer Burford, I don't want to do that. I think you move him to tackle. You see what he can do there. Nick Sakel, whatever. Jalen Moore. You can't cut Jalen Moore if you're going to move, I don't know, maybe Burford and Moore fight for that swing tackle role. Like, there's just so many guards. Because I think Colton McKivitz should play guard. I think Jalen Moore should play guard. So did John Lynch after they drafted him. I think Nick Sakel should play guard. I think Jared Kingston should play guard. I think Spencer Burford, I think he could play tackle. It's just like, ooh. I don't know, man. And yeah, Salty says, you know, Ben Bartsch should stick. They love Ben Bartsch. One, he's on all the special teams, but also he's the backup center and both guards. So, like, this is where, like, again, that O-line room, whew, you get injured, you're gone. You get injured, you're gone in this room. You cannot. You cannot move. If you get injured on this O-line group during training camp, I'm sorry, guys. You're cut, like, or you're going on the pup, or you can't go on the pup if you're injured in training camp. But like, Shanahan going to do some tricky with you, because that roster, their entire idea behind the offensive line is iron sharpens iron. We have built up a lot of depth, and they do have a lot of depth. Somebody got to win these fights. Somebody's got to win these fights. That's the whole idea on what they're banking on. We'll see if it pans out, but. You got 17. You're going to cut down to 9. 8 are getting cut. That's a lot. That's a lot. Defensive end. Let's go defensive side. They have 9. Last year they kept 4, which is a smaller number than normal. Usually you keep 5. But you kind of know who they're keeping, right? Bosa, Floyd, Matos. Those three are guaranteed locks. Guaranteed locks. Those three. Then you've got Drake Jackson or Robert Beal. Probably keeping both. Might just keep one. And then you got all the second round kind of guys, you know, the Austin Bryants and Ernest Brown and Ray, you know, Alex Barrett. So like the edge, the back end's going to be a little bit of a fight, but you know who your kind of 3 out of 5 are. You know who that is. And I'm excited about that. Brian says, you know, I'm pumped to see what Floyd and Bosa can do opposite each other this year. Same. Confident this has to be the best pass rush duo since the Smith brothers. Ooh. Ooh. I would take the Bosa. Armstead was outside with D Ford. We only saw it from a small window, but then probably that. You know, my favorite thing about Leonard Floyd is just how consistent he is. He's not near as much flash as consistency. Even like we posted a video of his highlights and it's good, but his game tape's good. And so that's something I'm excited about. Right here, Matos is a D end and base with Floyd coming in on passing. I don't think so, Invader. I think Leonard Floyd's going to be the starter. I really, really do on base downs too. That's one of the things, like his age says, like it's ending, but you watch his tape last year in Buffalo, like he's a first down player. He's a first and second down player. Now, if Floyd does start to step back, I think that's what you go to, but I'm telling you, Floyd's going to be up there in snaps, guys. It's going to be the Floyd and Bosa show. That's what it's going to be. And you know, your number two group, I think it's going to be Matos and either Drake Jackson, probably not Drake Jackson, but, you know, Matos with Robert Beal Jr. on the other side. That's what I want to see. Can Bill be the Leonard Floyd Jr. type player? Both went from Georgia, but that's what we got to see. And the snap counts are going to like at training camp, we're going to learn a lot. And I'll be there. That's going to help a lot. And yeah, Salty, you nailed it. I'm banking on Bill taking over for Drake Jackson. You called him a bust. I don't want to call him bust yet, but yeah, it's pretty dang close. The upside's there. He just can't. The upside's there with Drake Jackson. It's just he falls down more. He just falls down too damn much. He's got to figure that out. All right. Now, the number one way to support the show, guys, and if you haven't done it yet, let's go. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So. Now, the cool thing about that, we already have rookie tape up like crazy. I mean, Renardo Green, Jacob Cowling, Isaac Arredo, Dominique Puny, they're all up there. The next two tapes I'm going to break down are our sixth and seventh round prospects, which is going to be fun. And then we're going to do probably our first and second round guy again, get two tapes of them, then jump over to the undrafted free agents. You're going to get it all. And I know I said that we were going to have a Zoom hangout this weekend. Didn't work with family coming in town and kind of threw some things off unexpectedly. So next week, we're going to have a Zoom hangout for all our 49ers Rush and Patreon members, which is going to be fun. So stay tuned for that. I'll announce that later once I can figure out scheduling with the kiddo and the wife and all that fun stuff. Now, let's go to the defensive tackles, the interior defensive line. We have eight. And again, you got to remember, the number one undrafted free agent, Evan Anderson. I mean, the Niners paid him his entire rookie salary guaranteed. I think it was like $280,000, which only $250,000. If you're on the practice squad all year, you get $250,000. So they already guaranteed that money. So if he signs with somebody else, let's say the Niners cut him like they did to Sean Jameson, he gets picked up by another team. Like, you lose all that. So you got to put him in this group too. So there's eight defensive tackles or interior defensive line guys. Last year, they kept five. Now, there's some guys on the back end that, you know, three guys are getting cut. Raymond Johnson, Kalia Davis, T.Y. McGill. Then you got Evan Anderson. The top four, like, they're not getting cut. Hargrave, Collins, Elliott, Givens, not getting cut. So you got five dudes fighting for one spot. That we'll see. Again, you get injured, that's what it is. You get injured, that's what it is. And shout out to Jude. I like this. Said people called Kinlaw a bust, but these are young guys. Can all improve with coaching and hard work. Yeah. Anybody that's still calling Kinlaw a bust is just didn't watch the last year. Definitely didn't watch playoffs. And you see his contract that he got afterwards. No. Did he live up to where he was drafted? No, he did not. And the injuries played a gigantic role in that. But was he a bust? You get close to a $10 million contract after your rookie deal, you're not a bust. And again, like McGlinchey and Kinlaw are not busts. Did they hit? Were they worth the pick that they had taken? No. That's what I'm saying at all. Not a bust. Like, that just does not make sense. Thank you, Jude. I really appreciate that comment, man. So defensive tackle, most of it's known, but man, there's a fight for that last spot. There is a fight. Linebackers, we got nine. Last year, we kept six. And this is the weird part to me because, you know, Greenlaw, that's a wild card. When is he going to be ready with that Achilles? But man, like, again, you've got nine linebackers. Last year, you kept six. Usually, you only keep five. Like, you're cutting four of these dudes? Like, Fred Warner, Locke, Devontae Campbell with what you paid him, Locke, DFF, what you paid him, Locke. And then you've got, like, all the young pups, Jalen Graham, D Winners. Then you add in Tatum Bethune. Curtis Robinson's there. Like, this is going to be a weird one because you're not keeping all three of these young pups. Tatum Bethune, D Winners, Jalen Graham. You're not keeping all three of them. You might keep one. Might keep one. So you let go of some young, talented. Whew, right here. Graham is going to beat out Campbell. Ah. I like Jalen Graham. The consistency there is a huge issue. I mean, like, you look at what they paid Campbell. That dude. If you cut him, you lose money. If you cut him, you lose money. Let's see, cut. No. Man, he's got cap hits for 5 years, bro. Man, they put four void years on Devondre Campbell's contract. So his cap hit this year is $2.2 million. His cap hit next year, which is a void year, is $2.6 million. Then you've got void money off that. But if you cut him, all those void years stack up early. Ooh, I don't like that. Me no gusta. I'm telling you right now, he's making this roster. He might beat him out. Even if Grant beat out Campbell, the roster says there's no way in hell, man. Like, he has to be on this team. I don't know. The prediction there is going to be rough. I don't know why they brought DFF back. The special teams, I get that, but he's good at special teams. He's not that good. That's what makes this whole room just in disarray, because you're going to cut one of these young promising players for DFF, and they're going to give snaps to DFF over these young promising players, so they're not even going to be able to prove themselves. And on top of that, you went and added another young guy and drafting Tatum Bethune. Like, it's just like, oh, like, why'd you do that? It was a seventh round pick, but I don't know. And John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan both said, we don't see the back end of this roster or back end of this draft as draftable players. And so you see them whenever they take somebody in the seventh round, pick 251. It's like shoulder shrug. Like, all right, this is basically an undrafted free agent. And that's how you have to treat it. I don't know. Maybe he flashes. Maybe he flashes. All right, cornerback. Golly, we got 10. We had 10 corners. You know how many we kept last year? 5. That's half. That's half. 10 corners, you're cutting 5. And you look through these names. Oh, man. Let's go through the locks at corner. Charvarius Ward, lock. Renardo Green, lock. Daryl Luter Jr., lock. Diamador Lenore, lock. That's 4. That means if you're doing what you did last year, I think you keep 6 this year. Isaac Yiddum, who they're talking about starting, a possible starter. He's close to a lock. Rakia Sin, Ambry Thomas, Samuel Womack, Kamon Hall, Chase Lucas. I think they're keeping 6 DBs. Like, there are, that is a war, ladies and gentlemen. That is a war at the cornerback position. Oh, man, that is stout. I think that's the most dangerous position to be in. And there's so many expiring contracts. Yeah, like, everybody's on expiring deal anyway. Safety position, we got 7. Last year, they kept 4. And there's a lot of back end of the roster guys, like Taylor Hawkins not making it, Eric Harris not making it. But that's it. That's 2. And, you know, you brought in, you know, undrafted free agent, but like Odom, he's making it. DFF, he's making it guaranteed because of the contract. Ugh. Jair's making it. Malik's making it. Hufanga, that's 5. You know, maybe I don't know. Right here, Brian, he says, you know, when healthy, I really want to see Hufanga slide down next to Warner opposite Greenlaw. Yeah, I don't think you could do that yet. I think you play him in the Sam role, probably not the Will role. Not saying he could do it, but, man, I don't know. this is going to be, it's going to be rough. And then you got your three, you only have three kicking specialists, you know, with your kicker, punter, snapper. You only got three. There's no competition there, thank God. No kicker controversies through camp. And I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I don't want them ever again. But, you know, maybe Hufanga starts out on the pup just so you can keep that one extra spot. But then you only got eight returns. I don't know. Because with when Hufanga's ACL injury happened, he should be ready to go. He should be. I'm not sure that's one you want to sandbag because you want him practicing. If he's on pup, he can't practice. He cannot practice with the team. He needs to practice with the team. So it could be. I think Greenlaw 100% is going to be on the pup. I don't know about Hufanga. Man. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So that's the 90-man roster in a nutshell. And again, my positions where I'm just like, ooh, dangerous. Wide receiver, offensive line, cornerback. Those are the deadly positions. Like, you get hurt, your job's gone. That's what it's going to be. Like, you're going to be put on IR, and you're going to sit. And that's just, the Niners are going to do it. Now, shout out to my man, Richard G. He said, you know, it seems to me the 49ers have invested heavily in special teams this offseason, but I don't see a lot of people talking about how this will affect the roster. So I thought that this was a nice little bridge over. And again, like we talked about all the tight ends, like these guys are making the roster, okay? The top two guys, Eric Saubert, he's making the roster, the tight end. 1,451 special team snaps. Isaac Yeadom, 1,248. Those two guys are making the damn roster. They're making the roster. I didn't include them in my locks, but maybe I should have. Now, listen to these other special team snaps just on the roster. Rock Ya-Sin, 456 special team snaps. Devondre Campbell, 351. He's making the team. He's making the team. Jordan Elliott, 322. Yetur Gross-Matos, 207. These are just guys we've added. Defensive back, Kamon Hall, 334. Chase Lucas, 305. But he's only been in the league for 2 years. He had 230 special team snaps, Chase Lucas did, just last year. Just last year. And he's one of the only few nickel outside guys. I think he's going to stay at nickel. Patrick Taylor, who I don't think is going to make this roster. But, man, you just brought him in, 276 special team snaps. Like, everybody you brought in as a free agent, now your key starters like Leonard Floyd and whatever else, like, I get that. But these guys play. And then you look at the draft, guess what? Returners. Now it matters. You lost Ray. You go draft, I think, five capable returners. You have to have two now. You can't just have one. You have to have two kick returners back at all times. Have to. The way they line up, have to. Have to. Isaac Guerrero, Jacob Cowing, Ricky Pearsall, Cody Schrader. Even Renardo Green's got a little bit of experience. But I doubt he'll do that. But you drafted five guys. Cody Schrader undrafted, but I think that dude could be a returner easy. Core special teamers, Malik Mustafa, he's on that Talanoa Hufanga path. He's going to be on every single special teams unit day one. Tatum Bethen, if he makes this roster, that's where he's going to be. But again, he's got to beat out Curtis Robinson, D. Witters, Jalen Graham, maybe DFF. Special teams is paramount, and the 49ers have sucked at it for 8 years. 8 years, and it cost you the Super Bowl. Cost you the Super Bowl. You got cute with the roster, and you benched the best special teams player on your roster, Samuel Womack, and you put a rookie out there, and what happens? Ball hits him in the foot. Freak play should have been anywhere around there. Would that have happened if that Samuel Womack? Probably not. Whole different ball game. So maybe it's getting through their heads. And I love Kyle Shanahan. I love John Lynch. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they're not flawed. They are. Special teams has cost you some games in your time. Period. Invader says, you know, Guerrero should be one of the kick returners. I think so too. And again, with the new return rules, kickoff return is what we're talking. It's a lot less kickoff return than what we're used to. where you catch the ball and you've got 20 yards of sprinting before any contact's made. Not like that anymore. So I think what you're going to see is a shift from Ray-Ray McCloud, these small returners, even though that's still going to be in play, to a little bit more running back, bigger build returners that can force missed tackles in smaller spaces. So what I would do personally, I would put a shifty guy and a running back guy back there and see who they kick it to, and let's experiment a little bit. Like, what are we going to have success with? We've been the worst kickoff return and kickoff unit in the NFL, so much so, you go spend a third-round pick on a kicker just to guarantee you can get touchbacks, and then they change the rules. Niners voted against it. One of three teams. Not shocked. Why the hell we spent all that second-highest drafted kicker in the history of, you know, the last 10 years or whatever? But yeah, we'll see there. What's up, Sin? How you doing? And so, we'll see. Special teams, they got to change some stuff, man. They got to. Because it's bad. And it's been terrible. It's been really terrible. No doubt about it. Now, let's shift. And let's talk the wonderful special, or the best ever, right? So, I love my nostalgia, and I always go probably too deep into this. That's okay. Who's the best 49ers player to ever wear number 31? Ever. Now, it only counts what you do for the 49ers, and if you change your number, which is more of a new thing than an old thing, only thing that matters is what you did for the Niners during that time. Wearing 31. It's the Jimmy Ward rule. He had like 15 numbers. Now Debo's going to have all these numbers, whatever else. And this one was a little bit more blast from the past than it was, you know, there were a lot of older names, Dre Bly, Walt Easley, Zach Bronson, Chet Brooks, you know, fun old names, but this had some good new ones too. Tayshaun Gibson, he's the most recent, right? Man, I think one of the rookies is sporting 31, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see here. Yeah, Renardo Green. He's wearing 31 now. Now, that could change. He was 8 back in the day. But Renardo Green, he came out. He's wearing 31. So, you know, obviously he's not included in this conversation because he hasn't played yet, hasn't done anything yet. But my honorable mention, guys, I'm not going to break down fully, Dre Bly and Walt Easley. And on Twitter, you can only put 4. And so I got to start with my number 5, Tayshaun Gibson. Which as soon as I posted the top 4, shout out to Levin. Levin's awesome. He does, you know, he does so much work for stats, Guerrero and all that stuff he's just awesome. Levin's a great guy. I've met him several times. Really good person. And first thing, like, I post the top 4, and the very first comment, I knew it was going to be this is what Levin said. No Gibson love. He said it's Whitner and Gibson for him, but I did not include Gibson in my top 4 because Chet Brooks kind of bounced him out. Because Chet Brooks, while he only played 3 years, Gibson played 2 for the 49ers. We won 2 Super Bowls with Chet Brooks on our team. So that kind of, you know, maybe if we won those Super Bowls with Tayshaun Gibson there, but that was what equaled out. Neither one of them had like Pro Bowls or anything like that. Gibson played in 6 playoff games, but Chet Brooks, who was here from 1988 to 1990, spanned over 3 seasons. Dallas Carter kid, Chet Brooks. And he went to A&M, which I hate. He is the one, doing my research, I didn't know this, that came up with the Wrecking Crew name for the A&M defense. Not that that factored into the equation here, because I would have punished him for going to Texas A&M instead of promoted him. But that's okay. I can get past it. Started at defensive back for 2.5 years for the Niners, was a part of 2 Super Bowl winning teams, but only played the 1989 playoffs because he blew out his knee at Lambeau, and then never really played again. So, like, his career was done. And we just talked, somebody talked about it here. It was Salty. He says, you know, ACL injuries are not as devastating as they once were. Huff should be back fine. You know, you go back to, like, Chet Brooks, like, that ended his career after 3 years. That's exactly what Hufunga's played in. Like, if we jump back 40 years, ACL, sayonara, it's over. And Miguel, I will not highlight that comment. I'm close to reporting you, sir. for defamation and profane language. I'm joking, but kind of. I ain't put that on my screen ever. And I'm so excited Texas gets to play A&M. Whew. Bringing it back, baby. That's right. Little brother can only run so far, A&M. We coming for you. We coming for you. Salty, enjoy the rest of your day, brother. Now, so that's where I got Chet Brooks. He's my number four. And then I'm struggling. Now, according to the poll, which, man, let's see if I could. Can I put this on there? Yeah, I could. Let me share my screen real quick. And I don't do the YouTube polls anymore because they're always weird and they never work. And what happens is I get like all these emails saying that, you know, something's not working and blah, 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 blah. And people get mad at me. So I just stopped doing that. But, you know, I put this up on Twitter. Who is the best 49ers player ever to wear number 31? And Chet Brooks, like, I thought they got this wrong. Whitner won 73%. Raheem Mostert, 22%. Chet Brooks, 2.4%. And Zach Bronson, 1.5%. I was struggling with who number two was because I put Zach Bronson ahead of Raheem Mostert. And I love Mostert. Yeah, I think Dante Whitner is the very, very clear number one. But here, I'm going to let's have this debate. Zach Bronson or Raheem Mostert, okay? Now, we all know Mostert, and I'll go through his stuff too. Zach Bronson, he played way longer than anybody else we've talked about on this list. 1997 to 2003. Like, he was with the Niners for a long time. Jasper, Texas kid. You know, two Texas boys on this team. 84 career games started at safety. Like, never played for anybody else. 7 career playoff games, 19 career interceptions, 2 pick sixes in 2001, and he still holds the 49ers record for the longest pick six ever. Had a 97-yard pick six against the Bears back in 2001. Now, no Pro Bowls, but he played more games than Dante Whitner and Chet Brooks combined. Like, this dude, do you reward longevity? Now, he had a neck injury, and that ended his career. But if I go over to Pro Football Reference, they do this approximated value, the value that they brought to a franchise. Zach Bronson is worth more, according to their metric, than Dante Whitner. Zach Bronson got a 22. Dante Whitner got an 18. Mostert got a 14. Chet Brooks, 13. Tayshaun Gibson, 12, according to this scale, right? So somebody that played for 7 years, all for the 49ers, and was a baller. He was a ball hawk. I mean, he had 7 interceptions in 1 year in 2001. I don't know how he didn't get a Pro Bowl with that. That's damn good. 7 career playoff games. Now, let's go talk to Mostert. We know Mostert. He was here from 2016 before Shanahan. Well, they kept him as a special teamer and eventually found his way the last like couple years. You remember that year we had all those injuries in the running back position? All the way to 2021. So longevity was there, but he was just a special teamer. That's it. He never had a Pro Bowl career with us. He did last year in 2023, but that was with Miami. Doesn't count for us. The most yards he ever had rushing for the 49ers was 772. But, here's the difference. One of the best playoff career games in the history of the NFL, regardless of a position. That game against the Packers, baby. 29 attempts. 220 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns. Unbelievable. Still, probably my biggest Shanahan gripe ever is that Raheem Mostert had 0 touches in the first quarter of the Super Bowl, the 2019 Super Bowl. I'm still upset about that. So, here's my question to you. I've just divulged all this information, and I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I love these two players, but they're so close to me. Is longevity more important than recency and that one huge playoff game? So who should be number two? We all agree Whitner should be one. Mostert should be two. Or Zach Bronson should be two. I mean, he played way longer, started way more, twice as many playoff games. So that's kind of the question there. Who should be number two? Twitter got it wrong, but I gave no context. I just put names up there, and Zach Bronson got the least amount of votes. Like, there's no way Chet Brooks is ahead of Zach Bronson. There's no way. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if you want to. The Twitter poll is still open. So if you want to go over to my Twitter and vote and jump in the comments and talk some trash, you're more than welcome to. But for me, I'm going Whitner 1, Zach Bronson 2, Raheem Mostert 3. But 2 and 3 are close. So close. And as I know more comments going to come in, but let's talk Whitner, and then we'll see what you guys have to say. Dude, Whitner was awesome. One, he graduated from San Jose State, finished his degree while he was here for the 49ers. But back to Twitter. This was before Twitter was like Twitter. He announced on Twitter in 2011 that he was signing with the Bengals, not the 49ers. And he played for four teams, and then he took it back, and they ended up signing with the Niners anyway, which is awesome. The most Twitter thing ever, but it was, I don't know how many years ago that was, 13 years ago? Good Lord. He had one Pro Bowl season with the Niners, the only one of this list that had a Pro Bowl season with the 49ers. He had one more Pro Bowl season, I think, with Cleveland. Started every game for three straight years, 8 playoff games. That's the most of this list. Had so many famous hits. Dante Whitner is one of the reasons why the NFL had to change. Literally had to change the way they played because he was ruining people's careers. And the concussion thing all started. All that stuff was going on, and he was at the forefront. Had the huge hit versus the Saints. Pierre Thomas in the 2011 playoffs knocked him out of the game, stopped the touchdown. Then he had another huge hit against the Rams, and he got fined. Then he changed his name legally to Hitner, right? Dante Hitner, the whole metal world peace thing, all that stuff going on. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's really interesting just to kind of see what he was able to do. And so if I'm looking at these players and I ask the question, you know, who was the best player at whatever for the 49ers? 100% it was Hitner. That dude is him. And so he's number one. And so I think that's really cool. So a little bit of blast from the past. That was number 31. We'll keep doing. We'll add a number or two to some of these episodes. And we want to focus on the then and the now. And we want to blend that. And that's kind of the goal there. YouTube's twitching, so I'm not getting any more comments. Yay, YouTube. Appreciate you. Always YouTube just doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? But this was fun. So we talked 90-man roster. We know which positions are going to be crazy. We talked some special teams. And then we looked to the past with number 31. And shout out to Dante Whitner or Hitner, however you want to respond to him. That dude has been awesome. And so really appreciate you guys. This has been fun. Hopefully we'll get back to a little bit more regularly programmed stuff. We got some more Patreon and the 49ers Rush videos coming out. But man, this is a fun show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.